ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Hello, Jared.
How are you, sir?
I am wonderful. Just wonderful. Trying to figure out what's going on with the athletes.
The athletes.
The athletes at the Olympics. The gymnast. It's in one particular, Simone Biles.
Okay.
I think probably heading into the games, was she the face of these games? Pre-Olympics?
I guess. I
don't see how you can say it's not. It's an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, like we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, it's one of
those
not
going to be. She's not the most recognizable athlete. She's not Kevin Durant. But this is her time to shine. And she's was the best shot at a gold medal that we thought we had.
True.
You know, there wasn't the Michael Phelps swimmer this time. It was her.
Right.
And it was.
Right.
Simone Biles. So today, you know, the preliminary round a couple of days ago struggled. She mentioned herself how she thought the weight of the world was on her, and she was having a hard time kind of dealing with that. And then today,
well, how can she say that? It's not the first time she's been in the spotlight like this.
She's won the gold medal at the Olympics before,
right? And there's no fans at this one.
Well, today starts out isn't doing. The team was well behind Russia. She wasn't doing the greatest, and she decided to quit.
Quit? I thought it was a medical thing.
She pulled out. Medical issue, quote unquote. NBC said it was a mental issue to start with. Now that's been retracted to a medical issue.
Okay. Odd.
We'll probably never know the real story.
No, we won't.
But I think all you have to do is read what she's been saying and watch her reaction. She broke down mentally. Now, they're going to come up with some kind of physical ailment, and that's fine. And maybe that contributes to her lack of confidence or whatever you have. But this is a way more mental issue than a physical one.
Just the pressure got to her? Is that what we're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
The pressure got to her,
and she couldn't handle it. And it was affecting her performance, and she wasn't performing to the level she thought she should be, and she quit. Why can't we say that?
Oh, because that's just that's wrong in today's world.
A mental issue is a medical issue, right?
As defined lately, yes.
A mental health issue is a medical issue.
Yes.
So why not just let it be that? And maybe that's why they've got, in quotes, medical issue, because they're trying not to conflate the two together, because then it makes her look weak in the minds of the fan if she just cratered mentally, as opposed to spraining her ankle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the entire problem with looking at this whole thing anyway.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Now, this is why this worked. PR-wise, because if you're, like the most fans in our area, we just don't care about the Olympics. I've been very vocal about that. It just hasn't interested me this year. And so it duped me when my phone's blowing up and saw that Russia won because Biles went out with a medical issue. And I thought, oh, did she twist her ankle? Did she hurt her wrist? Did she, I don't know, her knee? What's the issue? And I didn't look into it anymore because why? I just don't care. You know? I'm like Lloyd Christmas at the bar in Aspen. I don't care. But they slipped that by me, didn't they?
Because
I just assumed it was a physical issue.
They changed the wording changed from when it happened to when it stopped. Or to where it is now, I should say.
Yeah.
The wording of it changed. NBC was calling it a mental issue, and now it's a medical issue, which they're the same thing.
You're right.
But there's a word in sports that people don't want to be called.
Quitters?
Chokers.
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 Yeah, what's worse, being called a quitter or a choker?
Probably a quitter.
Because at least you tried if you choked.
Yeah. Maybe tried too hard.
Yeah.
Now, to her credit, she did come back out after she left. Like in her warm-ups, and she cheered on her teammates. The official statement from U.S. Gymnastics is Simone is withdrawn from the team competition due to a medical issue. She'll be assessed daily, to determine medical clearance for future competitions. It's the official statement.
Yeah.
That statement right there tells you it's bogus. Because you know good and well if something happened, they would point out. You remember on the second jump and the floor exercise when her toe, they would point the specific injury.
Right.
If it was something physical to keep her from performing.
Yeah.
And so, not a great look. And quite honestly, so far the Olympics for the American squads, not great.
No.
Hasn't started out very good. The Olympic, the gymnastic team, silver medal. When everybody and their dog thought it was going to be gold. Softball team shut out today in the finals. How about a silver? Mm. Men's basketball has been just a disaster so far. Women's soccer did make it into the knockout round. But it's almost, and this puts a smile on my face when I say this. It's almost like the sports gods with a little G are throwing some karma back at the U.S. Olympic team for their wokeness.
I was thinking about that on the drive-in. Right? I kind of had that feeling, too. I couldn't agree more.
I mean,
everything you mentioned, I'm disappointed in the softball because of obvious reasons. I guess I'm still on a high from softball season, but the whole wokeness thing. I mean, I hope this is a wake-up call for whoever's on the roster, the NBA or the basketball roster. I mean, who's the fault for that? Is it Pop? Or is it the individuals who chose this team? Is it those who are on the team? I just hope it's a wake-up call for them. Like, what works in the NBA, it's not working at the world level.
Yeah, and then
someone pointed out, I'd love to give them credit. Someone pointed out the refs saying, hey, the refs are different at this in international play than they are in the safe confines of the NBA.
Oh, for sure. There's no...
They're not protecting you, superstar.
No. No, they're not. Not at all. Another, Naomi Osaka. She's been pretty interesting in claiming some mental health stuff lately. Pulling out of both the French and Wimbledon to try to spend some of her own time because she wanted to stay out of the spotlight.
Oh, right. Her, yeah.
Yeah, trying to, there's too much pressure. I'm in the spotlight. Get me out of the spotlight. I can't play. I can't talk to the press when I'm at the tennis tournaments. She played in this one, and she just got ousted today. But then also, the funny thing about her, she's trying to stay out of the spotlight, and then you go into United, and who is on the cover of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition? Naomi Osaka.
Ah.
Hmm. The difference, and listen, if Simone Biles, it turns out she has a horrible injury that we don't know about, which is really hard to imagine at the moment, she was out there competing.
Right.
But let's just say she does. Then everything I'm about to say, I'll take back and say I was wrong. But think about the difference in what happened today for her and what looks like to me she just crumbled mentally. And didn't want to try anymore because she wasn't performing very well. The difference between that display at the Olympics and in the exact same sport, 1996, when Carrie Strug almost breaks her ankle and gets up off the mat and goes back down to the end of the runway and does a vault and wins the gold medal for the U.S. team. And the courage and the strength and the mental toughness that it took for her to do that.
Right.
Versus, I'm not having a good day, I quit.
Yeah. It's a different world, man.
It's just happened in one generation of folks.
Yeah.
It took that fast. That fast. 24 years. Matter of fact, you know who was born that year?
Miss Biles?
Yeah. Too bad she didn't see that. And I mean, that's been kind of the fabric of some of the greatest athletes of all time, is their mental toughness.
Oh, yeah.
And now you look around, who has that?
It's hard to find one. Even going all the way up to our quote-unquote superstars.
Am
I right? I mean, it's hard to label these guys with mental toughness when you got guys who are opting to join super teams, you know, want limited playing time, want rest days, et cetera.
I mean, in any sport, who's the last one that you could sit there and go, man, he had a huge, he or she had a huge advantage because of their mental toughness?
I kind of want to say Kershaw. I mean, you know, last year's World Series. Because he could have mentally broke down with his horrible lack of success in the postseason. And then comes out and plays fairly well, pitches fairly well. I think that's maybe where it ends, is on the mound sometimes, because you got pitchers who have to put home runs behind them, have to put past performances behind them mentally and go out and perform.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's where I go. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
I would say Tiger.
Okay, golf is similar too. Yeah. Golf, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, but what I'm saying.
But, yeah, I know what you're saying.
He's the last one that you equated success with his mental toughness.
Right.
Just disappointing, for sure. But I guess this topic is brought up, and say all this just to say, it ain't changing. It's only going to get worse. And whether or not it's from a financial, the money is so big, and these athletes earn so much of it now that there isn't. I mean, we talk about that in golf all the time when we're at, you know, picking for a major or right around one of the major tournaments, that, you know, you had that commercial, the Nike commercial, right early on in Tiger's career, where he said second sucks. Very few people think that anymore, because you know why? Second gets a $1.3 million at the British. Second doesn't suck. It gets over $1 million.
Yeah.
And so it just, I think it's just another kind of a little bit of a sad commentary on the state of the country and the world. And there's just, it's, you know, that generation of folks before us, or two before us, that, you know, it's called the greatest generation, for all that they accomplished, World War II being one of those huge things. I mean, those days are over.
Right.
All you got to do is look at the people leading our military right now. You can figure that out. They ain't fighting nobody. Kidding?
I'm
now,
glad.
The people in it, that's a different story. They're there to do the job that they wanted to do and felt like they were born to do. But right. The folks leading that stuff, when you hear the words that they say, stuff coming out of their mouths, it's like, man.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the Middle East. We're pulling out and violence is already flaring up.
Yeah, it's just a sad deal. But anyway, yep. So Simone Biles, if you're going to wanted to watch that tonight, it'll be weird. And that's another problem with these games. I mean, I know you can't have it in America every year. I get that, every 4 years. But it sure makes stuff like this. I don't think there's any doubt it's a huge reason why the ratings are down as far as they are. Because, you know, you're 13 hours away, and it's just not optimal for the viewing public in America. And then all this stuff kind of starts piling up, and I don't know, maybe more people will watch because it's not gold medal or bust attitude in this country anymore like it was. Now, I was about to say, well, nobody's going to watch because they didn't win. Well, maybe that's not the case anymore either. Oh, let's watch her courage for walking off. I mean, you can just hear it, right?
Yeah, I can hear the keyboards frantically writing that narrative right now in Atlanta at the headquarters of CNN.
So that stinks.
Anyways.
That stinks. The gold medal game, it didn't go our way in the softball
either.
I'm glad
we grew up where we watched these mentally tough athletes. I mean, you mentioned what year was that Olympics when that happened?
96.
96. I mean, I remember.
In Atlanta.
I remember the whole family in the living room watching that.
Mm-hmm.
It was must-see TV. Now, this is the time of when we didn't have a million options to watch. We didn't have DVR, you know, and it was the Olympics. And we was like, hey, this happens every 4 years. Yeah, it's probably extra special because it was in America. It was in Atlanta. And I remember watching that.
Yeah.
It's inspiring. You know, and watching, I mean, the list goes on and on. You mentioned Tiger, MJ. I mean, the list goes on and on. Watching that, and sad to say, that might have been the last generation to exude that mental toughness.
Yeah.
We'll
talk about another guy. Doesn't seem to have it. Have you ever seen a player not succeed at getting somebody fired the way that Aaron Rodgers, a superstar, not succeed?
No.
Doesn't happen this way very often. It's funny. We're talking about the lack of mental toughness, or the, as one of my texts says, like Traber says, the sissification of society. And it's just it's the truth. But multiple people texted in the same example when talking about this mental toughness topic and how we'll never probably see anything like it again. And you know what it was?
I think I saw it.
Byron Leftwich, with a broken leg, being carried down the field by his teammates at Marshall to win a game.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore.
No, and think about how, in the grand scheme of things, as far as how important that game was in the grand scheme of things, sports-wise, how minuscule that was. That game mattered almost none.
I couldn't tell you who they were playing. Can you?
Oh, gosh. I can see in my mind him being carried by his teammates, trying to think about what color the other jerseys
were.
Sounds
like a good question for Pat next hour. All right, Joe, I got a question for you. Who is the team they're playing? Do you know?
Miami of Ohio, I think, is the first guess. But anyhow, it was just funny how that example was cited multiple times by different people when talking about that. All right, so, you know, we really have done a pretty good – in matter of fact, to me, this is kind of a badge of honor that we haven't just beaten this topic into the ground to the point of we really haven't even talked about it all that much. And that it was, I guess we could probably – getting close to saying now – the Aaron Rodgers soap opera that has been going on all off season up in Green Bay.
I think we both – knew that this was going to go on a while.
Yeah, after the draft.
We didn't want to.
When he didn't get traded draft night.
It was Akron, by the way.
Akron. The Akron Zips.
And it was actually at Akron.
Yeah, because they had their white tops on.
Yeah.
There for Marshall.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think for me.
Sorry to derail that. Go ahead.
That's all right. I think for me, when he didn't, because there was, listen, I left here. Was driving over to Sayre to watch the draft with some buddies, multiple ones that are listening as we speak. And I was, you know, listening to the they'd already flipped it kind of from the animal to ESPN Radio because they were going to have the draft coverage, you know. So it wasn't Al, it was whoever in the you know 30-minute lead up or what have you before it officially started. And that was all the speculation. You know, you're hearing different people come on with unsubstantiated, as it turns out, rumors. But, you know, Denver, he's going to get traded to Denver tonight, you know, stuff like that. And it never materialized. So I think for me, that was intriguing because you thought it could happen, because it feels like that's what a lot of these big trades in the NFL revolve around, is multiple picks, first rounders, different years and all that kind of thing, as opposed to just swapping players.
Yeah.
And so when that didn't happen, yeah, then I thought, okay, we might as well settle in for the long haul here, because I don't think either one of us thought he was going to actually retire, but he also wasn't going to cower down on his stance until the last possible second.
Yeah. Do you think that's what happened?
No, I think that Green Bay is going to have to give him some concessions. And that's what Adam Schefter was reporting yesterday, that they're going to kind of make some contractual agreements. I think what's going to happen is he's going to forego next year, kind of drop that off. They're going to give him a couple other things for this year. And so what it's going to do is basically both parties with these agreements and these changes to his contract, they're both saying, this is it. One last ride, a last dance. And it's funny because he and Devontae Adams both were kind of tweeting out last dance things over the weekend. But anyhow, so I think.
Speaking of tweeting, I've seen other Packers tweet at Aaron Rodgers their displeasure with him.
Okay. Who?
I'd have to go and look. But one of them was, because it was quoting a report, said people close to Aaron Rodgers say just everything that you said. And he was like, wait a minute, we're not close? I never heard this. And I know we've talked about this, but, you know, how does this locker room react when he comes back? How is it going to react throughout the season? What if things start to go south?
That's just the way. You know, I don't know what anybody else is going to be mad about. He did not miss a day of camp.
That's true. But it's the outside noise that was created by all this.
Yeah, and then he can look at him and say, wasn't me. What did you hear me saying?
True.
You know, if you're playing Aaron Rodgers' role in this, he can just look and say, what did I say to fuel any of this? You never heard it from me, did you? And when you think back throughout this time, he really didn't say much.
Right.
You know, we really thought we might get a nugget or two during the match, the golf deal.
Yeah, he was very
cool. He didn't say anything. Very cool.
They tried to bait him in, and he just kind of deflected it.
I think maybe that's where it could go, but you're right. I mean, if things go south, there was going to – little problems were going to pop up anyway, you know, no matter what happened this offseason for him, to me. I mean, I think it's just one of those things where we saw a player basically try to strong arm the franchise and remove a GM, a superstar player, the reigning MVP of the league, and it didn't work. That's the crazy part. It didn't work.
Right.
I can't think of very many examples where that was.
Not where the superstar,
yeah, not
basically
not
loses
recently.
This, you know, blinks first or whatever. I mean, that it maybe he feels like he wins because, like, oh, I got one more year here and I'm out.
Yeah, and those concessions maybe from the team. Like, let me ask you this:
Can I be dumb here? What does that mean? Concessions, like extra perks? What is that?
Yeah, I think just kind of reworking the deal. One of those was to drop the option for next year. So that makes him a free agent at the end of the year. You know, that was kind of the big one on his end, and that the Packers were agreeable to.
I thought he got a cut of how much concessions were sold during games.
No,
that's not that. That's
but I do have a question about this, though.
How much beer is sold during?
When you think about the organizational structure of the Packers, you know what they're missing? Everybody else has.
No.
An owner.
They're not owned? Oh, that's true. That's true. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They're publicly owned.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So I wonder how much not having a guy, a Jerry Jones or whatever name you want to say.
Yeah.
Helped the GM Gutenkunst, however you say his name. Gutenkunst. Keep his job. Because it's not like you
How's
could...
How's that work? Who hires the GM?
I mean, there's a structure there.
Is there a board?
I imagine there is a board.
That's just interesting to me. I've always heard that, and I always forget that too.
Yeah, they're fan owned. I mean, they're
fan owned.
Yeah, they're fan owned, and so I wonder how much that actually helped him, where he didn't have an owner to go, okay,
yeah,
you're right, Aaron. We'll fire the GM. Instead, you'd have to call 80,000 people or whatever it is.
Hmm.
And so maybe this isn't some kind of shifting of the landscape in the relationships between executives and superstars. Maybe this is just the one case where this would happen because it's the only case that's like this, where the fans own the team and there's not one guy that would cower down and do whatever the superstar wanted.
And that's an angle we haven't looked at. We talked about the locker room. We've talked about the front office. What about the fans? Do they welcome him back with open arms? Are they happy that he's there? Or do they like the idea of, well, this is his last year here. Why should I root for this guy?
Listen, fans are absolutely...
If they win, they'll love
That's
him.
Right. I mean, come on. There, how many fans do you know that after their team lifts the Super Bowl trophy goes, damn, I hated that because of Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback. Yeah, none.
Yeah,
everybody's going, woohoo, let's party.
Hypothetical, if in some dream world that Kevin Durant comes back to Oklahoma City.
Nobody cares anymore.
Everybody's going to love that.
If he wins a title.
Say that they would hate it now, but if he shows up and Oklahoma City suddenly contenders and they win a title.
Bam-o.
We forgive you.
Greatest guy of all time. I always liked that Kevin Durant.
And then he goes, oh, by the way, I'm going to go to the Knicks now. I'm like, okay, see ya.
See ya. I mean, look, we've actually got to see this in practice. This exact scenario.
Toronto.
No.
No, where?
Cleveland. LeBron was there.
True. Came back.
He left. They burnt him in effigy.
Yeah.
Came back, won, left again, and everybody goes, see ya. Yep. Thank you. Enjoyed you. Favorite son again. We love you, LeBron. Yep. We love you. Don't say any bad words. Do not. Who burned his jersey back then? Wasn't me. What a great guy. And he not only that, I mean, and he went to the Lakers, kind of like your Knicks scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's saying a word. Everybody's jumping for joy and meeting down on whatever street it is, Lambeau Way or Lombardi Way, to have the parade.
Right.
And the good news is, at that time of year, we won't have to worry about the Lombardi Trophy getting thrown in some kind of bay. It'll be frozen.
It'll be frozen.
Now, it might get a dent in it, but outside of that, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right, so a whole bunch of stuff has broken news-wise since we've been on the air with regards to kind of the mechanics of Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12. So, let's see. Yesterday was Monday. Golly, it all kind of runs together right now, right? Back to like Thursday.
It's blending in.
Okay, so, but yesterday.
It feels like this has been in talks for weeks now, and it hasn't been
days. I cannot wait to read this article. Clay Travis just said December of 2019. Kind of the catalyst to start here. I'll read it and see what it says. But, okay. So, yesterday, and I think what you're seeing now is the legal side of things taking over, where this has to happen for this. So dominoes have to fall in the correct order, right? Mm-hmm. So yesterday was the announcement from Oklahoma, Texas that they will not be renewing the grant of rights, Big 12 media rights in 2025. It's done then. What's there? I'm not doing it. So then the other schools meet. You know, they'd already had a preliminary meeting talking about it. You know, Big 12 tried over the weekend to get those two back in line. They said no. So yesterday was that declaration. And then as we've been on the air today, Oklahoma and Texas have officially applied for membership in the SEC. That's happened within the last 10 minutes. So Oklahoma and Texas have officially applied for membership into the Southeastern Conference. Now, from everything I can see, as far as the mechanics of this, oh, here it is. Actually, this is the letter right here. Request, dear Commissioner Sankey, University of Oklahoma, University of Texas at Austin, request invitations for membership to the Southeastern Conference starting on July 1, 2025. We believe that there would be mutual benefit to the universities on one hand and the SEC on the other for the universities to become members of the SEC. We look forward to the prospect of discussions regarding this matter signed by both presidents of Oklahoma and Texas. The 2025 date, I think that is completely arbitrary in my mind. That is just simply the first day that there is no media rights contract with the Big 12. That runs out
right
fiscal year 2025 on June 30th. So then that is the day. So if you kind of thinking, oh, no, it's going to take clear till 2025, not so fast. That is just what they have to legally put on that document because of the grant of rights deal that is in place until the day before that. So now it looks like Thursday there will be a meeting within the SEC to discuss the application, I would assume to approve it. And then on Friday, both Oklahoma and Texas have already scheduled Board of Regents meetings with this being the topic.
Right.
So literally, by the end of the week, Oklahoma and Texas more than likely will have accepted invitations to be in the SEC officially July 2025. Now the question is, when does it really happen?
Yeah. And that's where the speculation is. Both universities, OU, Texas, will wait to see what happens to the rest of the Big 12. Will it dissolve? Because if that happens, there is no Big 12 for them to have to pay an exit fee to, correct?
That's right. There is no grant of rights in place because nobody's in the conference.
Will there be a clause, I'm sure, from the SEC saying, yeah, we'll accept you on July 1, 2025. Unless you need a conference, we'll accept you as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think all this is just kind of the legal, legalese to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now
it's like, okay, your move now, Big Eight. What do you do? Do you want to? Are they going to reach out to other schools? Or are they going to try to stay in 8-team conference, which is just absurd in today's day and age? Or do other schools, you don't want to wait around to see what the front office does, do they reach out, or other conferences starting to reach out to them, and do they start accepting requests to join their conference? Or, I mean, that's what OU Texas are waiting on. They're saying, okay, what's OSU going to do? What's Kansas going to do? What are these other schools going to do?
I mean, I think you immediately look east.
Yeah. Oh, what, like West Virginia?
Yes.
Yeah. That could be the first
place. The
first
very
piece
first
to
place
move.
You look yeah. is West Virginia and how that works. Because, okay, here's the deal. This is the catalyst that's gonna dissolve the Big 12. There's no doubt about that. I would never say anything else. But as far as the mechanics of the conference breaking apart, this isn't going to be what does it. It's going to be when the other schools get cold feet, get nervous about what might happen in this conference without those two and jump ship.
Right.
That's what'll be what, you know, the mechanics of breaking it apart. I'm obviously not saying, oh, those other eight broke up the Big 12. No. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is as far as just the way this is going to go, this isn't what is dissolving the Big 12. It's what's going to be the main reason, but it's not going to be what doesn't in practice. What does it in practice is going to be when the other schools decide there's no way we can make it with the eight of us, or even depending on who we could bring in, it's not going to be financially, it's not going to make financial sense for us to do it, so we have to go. And that's what's going to be the end of the Big 12. I have a hard time believing, because of the way that the musical chairs is going to go, I simply have a hard time believing that there's any chance this conference reaches 2025, plays that season, much less one after this. I just don't see any. For me, we've got one more year of the Big 12, and then we're done.
This is the swan song of this conference. That's this final season. That's it. And that was going to be my next question. Do you think there will be a Big 12 starting next academic school year?
No.
No.
Absolutely.
I'm
not
right there with you.
I don't think.
And I've said this since shoot this weekend. People asking me, like, I think it's done. It's done.
I don't think the other eight teams can afford that luxury of waiting.
No.
I just don't.
The longer you wait.
I know it's fun to talk about the options that these other schools have. Would you rather this or would you rather that? The truth is, the first one that comes, you grab it.
Because how long is that window going to be open?
That's right.
Your spot might be taken.
Hang on a minute, Pac-12. I'm going to wait on the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Just a second.
Pac-12 will say, no, then offer's off the table.
Then never mind Texas Tech, you're out. BYU, you're in. Or you're out and Boise State is in. You know, whatever. For the eight schools that are remaining. Because here's the problem. If you could figure out a way to get Notre Dame and Arkansas back into the Big Ten or Big 12 to make 10, okay, you might have a way there.
Right.
Everybody knows that's not a realistic option. And as much as, you know, Houston or BYU or Cincinnati, I mean, that doesn't have the cachet for TV right money.
The easy option will make the league weaker.
From a TV standpoint, 100%.
And from a perspective standpoint, people will look at that league and go, you're just the AAC on steroids if you get those two teams.
Yeah, and even if you got four to get to 12 or even if you got six more to get to 14 or whatever, none of that whole conglomerate, let's say you got eight to get to 16, that whole conglomerate of eight doesn't carry the power in the negotiating table with the TV as OU and Texas does. And you know how I know this? Because one of the main reasons this is happening is the Big 12 with OU and Texas went to their TV partners and tried to start renegotiating those rights deals now 2 years early. And they said no.
Yeah.
And for the last 2 years, the only conference, maybe the Pac-12, I didn't see their numbers, but the only conference that is making less off their TV deals from year to year was the Big 12. And so if you're already seeing that number's coming down, they won't renegotiate to prop that number up. You look around and we're the only ones not making more money year after year after year. Why is that? It's because we don't have the brand power outside of those two. That, you know, and so now you take those two out, it literally makes zero financial sense for the other eight to try to have a go at it, which means it's time, musical chairs, and you better be sitting one on one when the music stops. Otherwise, then you've got a huge trouble. And the thing, you know, you hear Big Ten doesn't think they need to expand. That's fine. You know what? Maybe they don't. But the ACC's got a great deal in place. They might as well go to 16 because their new TV with ESPN, the ACC network, all that's starting to kick in, starting to get going. Their money is coming higher. So, you know, you figure two there for 16. The Big Ten wants to be stubborn. They don't have to be, I guess, or whatever. And then the Pac-12 is going to have to. I mean, the speculation that – I mean, I get the idea where you say, well, you know, you run the numbers with them, without them, what we can get extra, and then, you know, decide if it works. That luxury isn't there right now because you're going to get left so far behind from a financial standpoint from those other three. The Pac-12 has to take on more people because they have to figure out a way to boost that money. That they're even if you have to take a short-term cut per school, the long-term benefit outweighs that in spades.
Yeah,
you're going to have to do it. This move by these two schools, which were pretty much the two biggest free agents, maybe you could argue Notre Dame as well, obviously can do that. So two of the three biggest fish out there that were kind of in that free agent pool are gone. And it's one of those situations where the people, the conferences, the schools that wait are going to get left out because there's just simply not enough numbers. There's not enough spots for everybody to have a seat. And so if I'm any of those eight, you know, you saw OSU, the president, Schrum, make statements about the trust being – okay, that's great. I mean, That's going to fire up the fan base. That's going to work for 2 seconds. Now she needs to quit writing letters about OU being mean and start finding a conference for Oklahoma State Athletics, one that they deserve to be in and one that's good enough for what their program is. Same way at Iowa State. Jamie Pollard talking about putting Oklahoma and Texas feet in the fire and not letting them out of the deals. And make, okay, that's fine. You can. Are you going to be the only one in the Big 12 in 2025 while everybody else is gone? Yeah, I mean, it's, that, those are strategic, really PR stunts that work for the fan base. But you know what's not going to work? When you're too busy out writing letters about Big Brother being mean and missing out on going to the Pac-12 or the whatever it is, because you're not, because you're too stubborn to do it, trying to fight for a conference that's dead. It's dead. The Big 12 is dead.
Would you be nervous if you're an OSU fan? You got the new president. This is obviously going to be her first huge task. Not sure of her background in athletics. Would this make you nervous?
Oh, how about this? It's a brand new AD.
An AD, too.
AD, Chad Weiberg, hadn't been there for a month.
Right.
But, no, because the one thing that's the biggest positive for any OSU fan that's listening right now is this. This is absolutely 100% the greatest time for this to ever happen in the history of OSU athletics, meaning they have never been better positioned to be able to get a deal done on their own.
Right. I said this Friday. So this doesn't have to be a bad thing for OU.
OSU.
I'm sorry, OSU. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, they're positioned as well as anybody that's left because of the overall strength of their athletic department. I mean, you can talk about KU basketball. What else they got? You know, I mean, what else do they have? Whereas you look at Oklahoma State, we talked about it yesterday, and these things aren't going to matter. It is football, and it's football only as far as the discussions, and their football carries as much weight as anybody left, if not more. I mean, they've been clearly the second best team in the league for a decade, consistent wise. Mm-hmm. So you know, you've got that. The only thing that would scare you just a little bit is the two conferences that seem to make the most sense geographically are also the two snobbiest about academics.
Yeah.
Like if the ACC was on the was the one needing four, then you'd, boom, they're there, no big deal. But the snobbiness of the academics, not being an AAU school, but, you know, the Big Ten, they're kind of fronting that they don't have to take anybody. If they did take two from the Big 12, it would almost have to be Kansas and Iowa State because of the AAU accreditation that only those two have now that's left in the conference. Obviously, West Virginia makes sense to the ACC. Notre Dame has kind of been a part of that conference, kind of not. So that makes sense if they want to jump in there. And then, of course, you've got what's left. And we talked about this yesterday. You know who I think is going to be left holding the bag?
Who's that?
Baylor.
Yeah.
I think they're the ones that are left holding the bag. In the end of all of this, you've got – and maybe one more from the Big 12 if, you know, the Pac-12 would relent on BYU. But the reason I think Baylor's in trouble would be the same reason BYU wouldn't get an invite. And it's the religious nature of the school, melding with the Pac-12 mindset.
Could a team like Baylor be forced – not that they want to, but be forced to go independent?
Oh, they would. They had no chance. They would. No. They would be in the AAC. They can't do that. They just can't financially. You can't,
I mean, they just can't. What I'm saying, if they just can't find a home.
Yeah, but somebody will take.
No one wants them, and they're just like you said, just left there, just dangling in the wind, and they're like, well,
the AAC would love Baylor. The Power Five conferences, maybe not. You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm talking about from a Power Five standpoint. Yeah, sure. The AAC would love to have
but
Baylor.
I could see Baylor going, nah, we're bigger than that.
Well, it turns out you're not.
Turns out when you don't have much of an option, it's kind of like, you know, waiting too long to ask the girl to go to the prom. All of a sudden, you don't have a lot of options left.
And that's what I'm saying. That's exactly – we can all relate to that one. And that's the way all eight of these teams that are left in the Big 12 better be thinking.
Yeah.
Otherwise – It's not near as cool to walk in with your tux on going stag.
No.
Than the hot chick on your arm, right?
It seemed like a good idea at the time, but when you walk through those doors, it's not.
That's right. And if it's an 8 instead of a 10, that's better than nothing.
And that's another thing. We were talking off air where we'd like to see OSU, and I said OSU, because we, you know, football drives the ship, but man, could you imagine OSU softball in the Pac-12?
Yeah.
Now imagine this. OU softball in the SEC.
Yeah, that's
going to be fun.
That's some good stuff. Here's the flip side to what we were just saying. Some AAC schools trying to knock the Big 12 door down to upgrade their date to the prom. I'm sure that's going to happen. And matter of fact, I'm sure that question has already been asked, and those talks are already kind of been ongoing. The only problem is there's only one entity that matters. And it's not whether or not the 8 schools want to take on, you know, Houston and Central Florida and Cincinnati and BYU or whoever it might be. I'm sure that would be a comfortable thing for the 8 that are left. The problem is what they want doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is going to be the dollar signs that the TV people are willing to pay for a conference with that makeup. That's all that's the only thing that matters to anymore. And that's why if you look at what happened with the attempted renegotiation by the Big 12 with OU in Texas, and ESPN and Fox respectfully declined to talk about, I mean, because all the question was going to be is how much more can we have? Mm-hmm. And they say, nah, we'll wait till 2025. And with the numbers already going down the last 2 years in the Big 12, that tells me good luck.
Yeah.
And that if the money wasn't there with those two, I can't possibly imagine how it would be there without them with what you could add. Especially in a post-COVID pandemic time with the money we all know that they all lost.
Right.
And so, I mean, I guess you wouldn't rule it out entirely, but from the money standpoint, the prestige, where that puts you in the pecking order of the, you know, the expanded college football playoff, and I get the idea of, well, man, if there's going to be automatic bids, then that would be, we'd be in great position to make the playoff. Well, here's going to be the problem. Is that conference going to be worthy of an automatic bid in the eyes of the playoff committee?
It's true.
In the way that this is all set up. Something that it's going to all have to be talked about in the event that that happens. But I just, if I'm one of those other 8, I don't get caught holding the bag waiting on the Big 12 to stay alive, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And if history has shown us anything, that won't happen. These things, we've seen it over and over again, when conference realignment happens, which seems like every a decade now, it happens fast. You think it would take forever. But this is going to happen fast. This is going to happen at breakneck speed. I'm going to guess I don't know if I'd guess this. You know, I'll boldly say it. Not afraid to be wrong. More often than not, I am. I think everybody will know their fate before we kick off Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, because it's going to have to happen so fast. By the way, just got a text on the text line. I'd heard that Jim mentioned yesterday the Thunder had made an offer to move up to number 1 with Detroit. Would you do this?
No.
Here's what it is. Reports are out there that Oklahoma City has offered Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the 6th pick to Detroit for number 1.
Don't believe it, because there was no Woj bomb on it.
Yeah, not yet.
There's rumors and there's reports, and there's a big difference between the two. I think this is a giant rumor. Would I do that?
Let's think about it. That'll be a topic for tomorrow. Also, studio guest tomorrow.
Yes!
Some fantastic soon-to-be college golfers, some OGA champions. Maddie K, Miss Trace Hill will be in the house tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.